Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
No one here thinks that he went to Colombia. No one believes that he went to Colombia. They followed up with my grandmother, and we have a lot of family in Colombia. No one's seen or heard of my uncle, from my uncle.
Honest to God, it wasn't until my son was born that I kind of felt like this, like, motivation. I just felt for my uncle. The love that I feel for my son and the love that he, I'm sure, and I know he felt for Sophia. Them taking her away from him like that, that would hurt me. That would kill me.
On September 19th, 1993, 28-year-old Sal Ramirez dropped his mother off at JFK Airport and then attended a family gathering at his brother's home in Yonkers, New York. After the gathering, he played some soccer and then left to drive to his estranged wife's home, where he was to collect his 2-year-old daughter from her mother. A friend saw him driving in that direction around 4 p.m. Sal was never seen or heard from again. What happened to Sal Ramirez on September 19, 1993? I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 165 of The Vanished, Part 2 of Salvador Ramirez's story. Before we get started, I have some really exciting news. You can now listen to episodes of the show completely ad-free exclusively on Stitcher Premium. You can sign up now for a free month of Stitcher Premium by going to stitcherpremium.com/Wondery and using promo code Wondery. Now let's get back to the show. If you haven't listened to part one of Sal's story, I suggest you pause here and go listen to that first. In part one, you heard about the disappearance of 28-year-old Sal Ramirez. He was seen by a friend driving on his way to collect his 2-year-old daughter from her mother's house. That was the last sighting of Sal. According to his estranged wife, he never made it there to pick up their daughter, Sophia. Police and family were well aware that a court hearing was just days away, where Sal was expected to receive full custody of his daughter, Sophia. But because Sal had vanished, the hearing was canceled and Sal's ex-wife gained full custody. She and her new fiancé packed up with Sophia and went to California. Sal's family members were worried about the safety of the baby and they began to petition for custody themselves. I'd like to go back a little and give you some more clarity over the family's concerns for the baby's safety.
My Uncle Sal did not want Sophia around Ruth and her new boyfriend closer to the time of his disappearance because Ruth's mom brought Sophia to where we were living at the time. And apparently Sophia was covered in bruises. And according to Ruth's mom, Robert, which is Ruth's boyfriend's or husband's name now, hit the baby. So she was 2 at the time. And my Aunt Bertha, who you spoke to, she was here when that happened, and she actually was the one to call the police, and then there was this whole investigation on Ruth, and that's how that Child Protective Services got involved. And then there was like a case put against them. There was some investigation into that. I saw in the police report that at the end of that, I guess, they said that that could have been from a fall that she took on a driveway, but my Uncle Sal and my parents and my aunt and everyone who kind of was around at the time, they didn't believe that at all. So to this day, they still believe that he was just abusing the baby. So those were the allegations that came straight from Ruth's mom. And that's how that came about. And she was so little. And I was talking to my aunt Bertha, who remembers a lot about that part of Sophia's life, because it was so traumatizing to my aunt and the family with how ugly things were getting with Ruth and my uncle. How Sophia would just have nightmares, how she would just pull her hair out, that she was really, really attached and really close to my uncle. And obviously, I know I've expressed before that my uncle just adored and loved his daughter. I think even to the end, he still loved Ruth, because he did a lot for that woman.
The problem was, with Sal's ex-wife and her new partner now in California, this made things very difficult for the family.
My aunt was trying to petition and was trying to get custody of Sophia a little after that, after my uncle vanished, because my aunt and my uncle at the time really felt that she was unsafe and she shouldn't be with that woman. But I think her lawyer advised her to just stop pursuing the full custody, just stop pursuing to trying to get custody of Sophia, because it's just most likely they were going to lose it, because that was her mother and she deserved to keep all rights and be with her mom. So
the family dropped the petition for custody, and the three of them, including Sophia, never returned to Yonkers. As far as anyone knows, they've never come back from California. Here's Bertha speaking about her attempt to gain custody of Sophia.
Sir, my brother disappeared. We don't see Sophia anymore. I went to court and I tried to get custody of Sophia. Me and my husband, we tried to do that for a long time, almost for a year. And then one of these days, the city clerk told me, you're a good person. You have a really nice family. You should stay away from all this, because this could be in an abuse case. And if something happened, she fell down or something, then they going to accuse you like you're abusing her. Say, honest, that's what I recommend you. And even that, you don't going to win the case, because you are like they give the custody a grandmother or a father, but not an aunt.
When Sal disappeared, his niece Deanna was just a young girl. But as she grew older, she began asking questions about her uncle. Who was he? What happened? She became concerned that after 25 years, no one had any idea what had happened to him. And even the police have their fears that some sort of foul play had occurred. She has seen the pain that her mom and the rest of Sal's family have endured over all of these years. Over 25 years without any closure. Sal's son Raul told us what he thinks happened to the father he never had a chance to meet.
In my opinion, everything would point towards that something might have happened between the ex-wife and her new husband. And it's because there's very ominous energy surrounding that whole situation, especially them. You know, why would they also disappear? This and that. And it was just too many things to ignore. Could have been over the custody fight. Could have also been, for all I know, it could have been a much more personal issue regarding them, just because, couples go through custody battles all the time, and rarely ever does it end up in a situation like this.
This younger generation has taken the reins to help their family try to find answers for Sal.
For us, for my family, now me, being able to kind of read the reports, listen to what's going on, it's just, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I know there was some sort of foul play. I'm not saying that it was them. I'm not saying it is them. I just think that it's worth taking a look into it. And like I said, I called the police, the Yonkers PD. They haven't called me back. And I don't know what other avenues I could take, what we can do, if anything. But, so that's kind of where we are right now. I had to fill out a request in order to get this police report. And luckily they had it, because when I called, they said that they had a really bad flood 11 years ago, and there was no way to tell, and they couldn't promise that they could find anything. But luckily
they did. I got this in the mail one day, but then they directed me to a different division, which was this number that I just gave you. And supposedly these are the people who look into cold cases, missing persons. I left a message with them, two messages, and all I got was, can't promise you anything. It's been so cold. It's been a cold case. It's been inactive. But I promise I'll call you back today or tomorrow. And I have yet to hear from anyone. This was, I think, a week and a half ago.
The family has been devastated by the fact that they were never able to see baby Sophia again. When Sal's brother Luis spoke of Sal's daughter, he describes not having seen her for 25 years. How would he recognize her now? She had been in their lives. Sal was around. But after he disappeared, she did too. The Ramirez family is very large, and they feel like they're missing two big pieces without Sal or Sophia. Other than assuming she's still in California, they have no idea where she is.
I don't know where they are now. I know that after my Uncle Sal's disappearance, Ruth wasn't allowing my mom, my aunt, my other uncles to see Sophia. And I saw some documents that my aunt has in her possession where Ruth's mom actually filed to get some visitation rights because Ruth wasn't even allowing her own mother to see Sophia. I guess doing my own due diligence, I did find that they all packed up and they all picked up and left to California.
No one in the Ramirez family believes Sal disappeared willingly. They all believe that something terrible happened to him.
I think there was foul play. I think he was set up. That's what I believe, and that's what my whole family believes. But because it's been at a standstill, and no one's gone out again to interview these people, I don't know what other information they could gain, if anything. But I know, I feel it, like, in my bones, that's what happened. Because there's no way my uncle would have left his daughter. He was working, and he was doing everything he could to get full custody of his daughter. And he was about to get full custody of his daughter.
And this was just why it's so sad that my uncle never got to see his daughter grow up, never got to meet his son, Raul. You know, all of our lives just are so different now. I don't even know, like, what would have happened with Raul. You know, my cousin's a great guy. He's a great man. But, you know, he deserved to have met my Uncle Sal, and so did Sophia.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. In the months after Sal disappeared, the investigation did continue. The original police reports state allegations of abuse of Sophia at the hands of Sal's estranged wife's new partner, which they were unable to substantiate. He was known to carry a gun, worked for a guaranteed overnight delivery company, and through his own father's moving company, had access to trucks and trailers. He did, however, have no criminal past. When he was interviewed by police, they reported that he was belligerent and obnoxious, and was not receptive to their inquiry. He did finally agree to take a polygraph test regarding the abuse allegations, which he passed. They also found that Sal's ex had lied about the timeline of her affair. She had suggested that she met her new partner after the separation, but police found that information to be false. One of the detectives at the time, Detective Sergeant Vargas, who had conducted interviews, describes in original investigation reports that Sal's ex was mentally unstable, and her new partner as a person who would resort to violence and could target Sal with such behavior. Detective Sergeant Vargas noted that Sal was either simply missing or something had happened to him. Meanwhile, the family was still trying to make sense of Sal's disappearance.
So after he disappeared, that was it. We never heard or saw Sophia again. That was definitely hard on them. I know my mom said that it took a few weeks, maybe even months, because he was living in the apartment where we were. He had his own bedroom there, his own room. So all of his belongings were there. So she kept everything there for months. And then I guess one day she just decided she just needed to clear things out. And I know that was tough on her. She remembered that day as me being, I think, six. She was in his room just crying, going through his things. And she asked me if I remembered seeing her that day in his room, going through his belongings, putting things in bags, trying to send things back to Colombia. I don't remember that day, but she says she remembers that day clearly because it was hard on her. It was hard on her to finally accept the fact that my uncle wasn't coming back. Oh, this is really tough to talk about. To accept the fact that her brother wasn't coming back.
Speaking with Detective Geis, he shed some light on situations like this one where children have grown up, possibly not even fully aware of their history. Sal's daughter may have no idea any of this even occurred. He hasn't been able to work the case yet, but he has every belief that the answers are out there.
I guarantee she was told a lot of lies by her and her stepfather. And that's why she probably never reached out or wanted to reach out to find out who her other family is. You know, I wish I could get on a plane today and go down to San Diego and try to talk to her and get a DNA sample from her. That is not in the cards right now. Maybe later on down the line. But right now, that's not in the cards. And if you talk to her and she's willing to talk to you, you could tell that she give me give her my number, and I'll be more than willing to talk to her. You know, so I mean, I'm hoping that she would want to do that. So I mean, if you talk to her, I'm more than willing to talk to her and pick her brain and get a DNA sample from her. I would love to see Sal found.
Detective Geis had more to say about where the case sits now.
I just got this case just a little while ago. Well, I don't even know if it's going to be assigned to me, but I do have it. Well, you know what? This happened back in 93, so of course it was assigned to someone back then. A body hasn't been discovered, and two, we don't know where actually any foul play might have occurred.
At this time, police confirmed that they spoke to everyone they could at the time, including Sal's estranged wife. But it's clear this could be looked into again. And it's not just Sal's family who have trouble reconciling what happened to him.
I mean, a lot of times if cars are found at the airport, but what's a little bit odd here is, you know, yes, there was an ongoing dispute between him and her, and that they were separated and he had child custody, and there were allegations of child abuse with the ex-wife's boyfriend. This case does sound odd. It's not your normal missing person. But just because a car was found at the airport, I mean, if I was going to pretend someone's going someplace, I'm going to park their car at the airport. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I do cold cases and I've been very busy. So I really haven't had a chance to speak to it because my board's filled and I got trials going. So I haven't had an opportunity to speak to the family. and it's going to be a little while before I get a chance to speak to the family. But yes, it is strange, this case. I'm not saying strange. It is very suspicious. Like I said, with us, it's the missing person belongs to another unit here. They get involved very early in the investigation because they felt it very suspicious. The detective did do a good job. He did all interviews, and he did contact Port Authority not once but a couple times, and he wasn't able to get any really cooperation from them from back then. I mean, now it would be easier because you have cameras all over the place, but back in 93, that was never heard of. And, you know, here's a guy that worked up at the, he worked up in the White Plains Hospital. He had a good job and never picked up a check. He didn't pick up his check. You know, why would he leave and leave money there? It just doesn't make sense.
Deanna spoke about how she began helping her family so many years later.
My sister, my cousins, and I, we always talked about my uncle. Honest to God, it wasn't until my son was born that I kind of felt like this, like, motivation. I just felt for my uncle. The love that I feel for my son and the love that he, I'm sure, and I know he felt for Sophia, them taking her away from him like that, that would hurt me. That would kill me. So I started talking to my cousins, and we were just kind of going back and forth. And I had no idea about Namus. My sister was the one that mentioned Namus to me. So I was kind of working one day, and I go on Namus, and I'm kind of like looking for his information. There's no case number. There's nothing on my uncle in there. There was no case ever entered for him in that system. And then when Namus got back to me too, and they wanted more information about my uncle, I'm like, okay, great. We're getting somewhere now. Even if it's 26 years later, we're doing something about it.
Deanna and Raul, the son that Sal never got to meet, feel that if anything positive has come out of this, it's been the ability for them to connect and grow their relationship as cousins. Raul and Deanna connected because when she heard from Namus and the topic of DNA relatives came up, it gave her the push she needed to take that step and reach out.
This Namus organization kind of reached out to me and asked if there was anyone that was willing and able, if you had any children that could kind of submit DNA testing. That's the first time that I've actually had a conversation with my cousin about his biological father, my uncle, Salvador. Luckily, his mom, Rosa, met a wonderful man who raised my cousin Raul as his own. So he was kind of taken aback. He kind of didn't really know much because I don't think that Rosa really spoke to him about what happened.
By getting his DNA into the database, they have been able to move that registration forward. Since the time of recording our interview with Yonkers Police, Sal's family has been able to go in and speak with law enforcement about Sal's 25-year-old missing persons case.
It's been so long, and my sister brought up a point the other day. Like, this case hasn't been revisited or visited in 26 years. And we actually went and sat down with the detectives on the 18th, which was Monday. And they collected some DNA samples from my aunt, my mom, and Raul, my uncle's son. And it looked like it's just been kind of sitting there. Like, no one's ever even looked at the case. And so my sister was wondering, you know, if Ruth herself ever called to follow up to see if there was any new leads or any new information on my uncle's disappearance. So I don't know if they know anything. And honestly, we haven't, you know, I spoke to my family here, and they haven't heard anything from her side of the family since all this happened. According to the detective, it's now an active case. Because he has it on his desk and because of the DNA samples that they submitted to Namus. So no, I can't even speak to like what Sophia might even know, if she knows anything about us at all. I don't know. We were there for about 2 hours, just talking, going over the case, me going over some questions that, you know, I had to ask, is this now considered an active case? Because at the time, the report that I have here, it's says that it's considered an inactive case because there were no new leads that came in. He said that this was now going to be an active case, not homicide, but a homicide case that's now considered an active case, which was a relief to me because now I know they're going to go ahead and, you know, maybe follow up with Ruth out there in California or maybe get some more interviews going. I think it went well. I hope that something does come of this. I don't know what that will be, but he was very nice. He was very attentive, and he asked a lot of questions.
The family is torn between feeling that not enough was done when Sal disappeared, and grateful that they're now being heard. For Sal's siblings and that generation of family, their hurt runs deep. It's the strength of the younger family members that is pulling this back through to law enforcement once again.
My dad was in an interview speaking to my father. You know, my father lived with my mom. Raul's mom was in an interview at the time. There was just a lot of people that I feel like could have had good information. I was six at the time. No way I could have done anything about it. But I feel like there was a lot of good people that they could have talked to. A lot of missed opportunities. They just didn't take it. But I'm hoping now that when they move forward with this, that they will interview important people that were part of my uncle's life at the time. Speaking to my uncles and stuff, it's a little frustrating. Just looking at everything now and just looking how things could have been handled back then. But I know things are going to be different now.
Sal's family have thought about trying to contact Sophia because they so desperately want to reconnect with her, but they have their reservations. They don't know what she's been told about them or her father. They fear rejection or disrupting her life.
I don't know. I wouldn't even know how to approach reaching out to her. I'm like a nervous wreck just thinking about what I would say to her or how I would approach the whole situation. I know Raul was even considering maybe reaching out to her. I know he wants to. I don't know now. I don't want to hurt maybe the case.
Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
With the cold case detective sharing the family's concerns over the case after 25 years, the family can continue their search for answers knowing they're being listened to.
It's someone we know, someone we're talking about did it here. He had two paychecks that weren't picked up. And back then, you know, a good sum of money, $344.97 for one, and the other one was for $174.55. And you're not going to just leave it there and go someplace else. I'm going to want my money. Or if I leave, I'm going to contact them and say, you know what, can you send those checks to me where I am? They were involved. They were separated. Sal and her were separated at the time, and she met him. She was trying to get custody back from Sal in regards to their daughter. But she served him with papers and told him that, you know, I want a divorce. I'm pregnant with my boyfriend's baby, and we're going to get married. And supposedly she said to the detectives back then that, you know, he got very upset at that news, which I don't think he'd be upset. I think he would, hey, you want to move on, that's fine, but this is my daughter, and, you know, I have custody right now, and I'm going to keep custody. So she's the one that initiated the court action because he had the custody. So she won out when he disappears. She got rid of him, and she gets her daughter. I think she just wants this whole thing to just go away. I think she thought that she got it. Well, she has gone away for 20-something years. So I don't think she wants anything coming back in her life right now. Right now, unfortunately, she did get away with it. And she's not going to want to talk to anybody about it to bring it up again. But the daughter might be a different avenue because maybe the daughter will want to think about, oh, who was my dad?
So if the cold case detectives believe that there is something to look into, what does that mean? Well, they need to prove it.
Well, unfortunately, we have to prove that. Right now, it's only considered a missing person because there is no body or anything like that. And that's the problem there also. We don't have anything from Port Authority Police. We don't have anything on camera. We don't have much of anything.
Deanna speaks a lot about the toll that Sal's disappearance had on the family. Her mom has been living all of these years, still hoping her brother will come home.
My mom wants my uncle back. You know, she says he's going to come home. She just doesn't know when, how he's going to come home, but he has to come home. You know, we want to know where he is. It's the not knowing that's so hard. You know, you're like, your brain just goes to all these different places, and it's horrible. I don't think my family is happy that she is out there, and she probably knows more than she has shared. And we just want, we want justice for my uncle, 100%. It's not fair that, and it's not right that all this time has gone by and no one's been held accountable for what's happened to my uncle. And then, you know, maybe she has nothing to do with it, but you would think that after 26 years, you would at least pick up the phone and, you know, follow up with the Yonkers Police Department to see if any new information has come in for, you know, the father of your daughter, obviously adored and lived for her. I don't think that she's done any of that. I don't think that she's picked up the phone to see if there have been new leads, if my uncle's been found, you know, none of that. Because after he disappeared, all communication with her and that family ceased. Like, that was that. Never saw Sophia again. My grandfather passed away not knowing what happened to Sal. It's really sad. We need some answers with what happened to my uncle.
After all this time, the family hopes for closure. If Sal met with foul play, they would like to feel some sort of justice. But for now, they're desperate for any form of answers as to what happened. They don't hold out hope that he's alive somewhere. They just want to be able to move on, knowing what happened.
I would hope that he is alive, but I don't feel confident. There's no reason for him to disappear. He loved his daughter. He was going through a court proceeding. And there's no reason for him to disappear and not have any contact with any of his family members or his daughter, who he loved dearly. And why is he going to leave his other family? And why is he going to leave his daughter here? A daughter he cherished that was 2 years old at the time. And have no contact ever since? It just doesn't make sense. I don't think he's a bad father, you know, where he wouldn't keep contact. No, I agree. This whole thing stinks. It is very suspicious. I will be looking at it, but it's just going to take me a little time. I feel sorry for the whole family here. Absolutely. You know, you want to know what happened to your loved one. And it's just, it's sad. And the other thing here is, you know, I'm just hoping to be able to tell the family we found them. And, you know, not that they're going to move on. It's not going to give them much answers. But you know what? Sometimes people want to know what happened to their loved one and where they go and visit him during, you know, the holidays. If anybody had any information on Sal, we'll do it. Please contact us here at the Yonkers Police Department. Because we still have a missing persons report out on, and I would like to speak to that person. Absolutely.
So what happened to Sal Ramirez after he left that soccer game on September 19th, 1993? We know that his intentions were to go pick up Sophia from his ex, but did he ever make it there? Was he harmed because of the custody battle over his daughter? His car was later found in the parking lot at the airport. Was it planted there as a red herring, or could he have walked away? Sal's estranged wife said she thought he went back to Colombia, But I'll tell you this. Sal did not take his passport. His family still has it. If you go search for information on Sal's case, you aren't going to find much. His case seems to have slipped through the cracks, almost like he never existed. But his family is hopeful that this story will garner some fresh attention to his case. Maybe someone out there does know something. They aren't giving up hope. Even if they never solve Sal's case, they would love to have a relationship with Sophia. When this case first landed on my desk back in October of 2018, what I didn't realize was that Sal's case was inactive and had been for many years. The last notes in his file are from 1995. Sal's case went cold and sat collecting dust. Sal disappeared in 1993, and in 2018, we called the Yonkers Police Department, and their one and only cold case detective took a look at the case, and he became very interested in it. Now, the case is active again, and I can't wait for him to solve it. If you have any information regarding Sal's disappearance, please contact the Yonkers Police Department at 914-377-7731.
That's all I do. I do cold case homicides. But, you know, it's just frustrating because you think you're there and something happens and you're not there. So it takes a while. It's very frustrating. But unfortunately, some of them are from back so long ago. My cases have gone back from 20, 25, years. Which, I mean, I just had one that's 20 years I just saw, but it just takes time. It just takes time locating people again. And a lot of the traveling is trying to find the witnesses all over again. They're not in New York anymore. They moved, so. And the other thing with cold case you have to worry about is, you know what? My witness is great 20 years ago, but now he's sick. Now he's blind or he's losing it. And it's frustrating. It's been doing it for 18 years, so it's in my blood now.
This means so much to us. Yeah, this is the most that we've ever, I know that my family really has gotten done in, 24 years? It's crazy. It's so crazy. But yeah, you know, I want to know what happened to my uncle. I want to bring him home. My family needs this.
I think that this is going to be a really, really big step in the right direction so that my uncle's case and his story is out there so people know about him, know how great he was. The way that my family has described my uncle, he was just such a kind person. All he wanted to do was take care of his wife and his daughter, and he did. And that just wasn't good enough for her. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what changed in her.
That brings us to the end of episode 165. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for the show. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey. Join me next week. I'll be covering a case from Michigan. Thanks for listening.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.